Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. This episode of the show is a continuation of our Monday series of shows that we've done here. Season two of the podcast. Of course, we are still continuing our regular episodes of the show. Have one coming out on Christmas Day for you guys to listen to. Won't spoil that, but I think that you guys will like that episode. So I'm joined on this episode by Mike Gallagher. We run through a bunch of the big topics in the NBA today, try and figure out who is going to win the Western Conference 7 seeds and 8 seeds. That seems like a mystery that no one is able to figure out. Of course, we are sponsored by DailyRoto.com. You can get 10% off of DailyRoto using the promo code Janice, J-A-N-I-S. And of course, please leave a rating and review on the podcast. That is very helpful and useful for me. I really would appreciate it. And of course, you can get bonus episodes of the show, patreon.com/takecast. Now let's go ahead and get into the episode. All right, everyone, welcoming in Michael Gallagher back to the show. This is our Monday NBA podcast. Drew Dinkmeyer, not with us this week. You know, he's just on a plane. He's a busy man around the world. You never know. You never know what Dink's going to be up to. So just Mike and I today. But you know what? This would be a good episode for him to not be on because, you know what, we're going to say some kind things about Russell Westbrook on this podcast.
Dude, he's been really good. He's making free throws too all of a sudden, right? Like all of a sudden he was shooting like 60s, upper 60s, up low 70s, and now he's shooting like upper 80s at high volume, like 9
Yeah, so he was, I think the number is he's been 78% the last 2 years, and then the last 3 weeks he's been at 90%, which is huge for a guy like him.
Oh, yeah, and he's cutting down his mid-range shots a little bit. You know, he's not taking quite as many threes as he was earlier in the season. Just total click, especially with like Harden. And the funny thing is like Harden just, you know, he's dropping like 30s. He lit the Suns up for what, 47. And by the way, how it was so hilarious that he stayed in until like the last couple minutes when they were up like 25. So many people were so tilted like, oh yeah, why is he staying? And like, who cares, man? Let him do whatever he wants. But yeah, the Rockets look for real. Westbrook is just, being Westbrook, doing what we saw when he was in his MVP years and making free throws. And just getting to the rim at will. We love the pace, man. Westbrook's plays so fast, and he's really just added a separate identity to just like harden all day. So, I don't know how you can really say negative things about Westbrook right now. So I'd be curious to see what Dink would have to say.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what he would have to say too. I think the crazy thing also about the Russell Westbrook situation is he is not negatively influencing Harden's numbers. Like Harden is not having a worse season playing next to Russell Westbrook. In fact, James Harden is averaging more points per game this year than he was last year. His field goal percentage is slightly higher. His 3-point percentage is basically the same. And he's actually, this is very cool to me. James Harden actually taking more free throw attempts this year than in, you know, his like legit MVP worthy seasons. This is what I wanted to start the podcast on was like James Harden is actually having an even better year this year in terms of his overall impact than he did in 2017, 2018 when he won the MVP. And everyone's fawning over Giannis.
Yep, it's true. That's what everyone does. But the Bucks, I mean, everyone obsesses with teams that are first. So that's just like the way it is. But like, yeah, Harden's free throws, he has 11.3 makes per game. That'd be fourth on the team alone. Just insane how much free throws he's shooting. And yeah, just like so many, 5 threes per game is just like, I feel like only person to do that for a full season, Steph. I'm not sure on that, but that feels like that has to be true. But yeah, it's just, he's just total Morey ball fest. The turnovers are still high, but who cares? But yeah, it's total. And Capella's been great. So it's been, you know, pretty much three stars and, you know, PJ Tucker doing PJ Tucker things, McMoore playing well, Daniel House is starting to come on again. And yeah, nothing really besides that. We've seen Gary Clark's giving them some sneaky good minutes. So yeah, I think the Rockets, they're not in that upper echelon with the LA teams, but they're probably the, I think, would you put them ahead of Denver right now? I don't know how I feel about that.
I would put them ahead of Denver because especially when we get to the playoffs, so much of what determines these games is really about, you know, who is just able to be the absolute best player. And James Harden is, I mean, first of all, I think you'd rather have a guard than a big guy as your best player anyways, just with the rules of the NBA right now. And I just think that James Harden is a better player than PJ Tucker, basically. Or PJ Tucker, I'm looking at their best core reference. better than Nikola Jokic.
Jokic, yeah. And we know Jokic isn't going to be a great matchup for how well they spread the floor. And I mean, they could totally get a – well, they don't – I mean, Capella's great, but they could totally get away with a lot of Tucker in the five, especially with how Jokic plays. You know, he's not really much of a banger. So I think Tucker at the five would be really, that's pretty much all they'll do. They wouldn't play Tyson Chandler and maybe, and Gary Clark too could guard him too. So Jokic is, it's pretty much, you get to guard the team like Jokic. I hate that whole like, oh, he's a team player, but he kind of is. But yeah, it's going to be a fun one. But I think they're clearly with Utah's played actually great without Conley. But
do we want to talk about Conley a little bit? Because even when Conley has been healthy this year, his numbers are bad.
He's been horrible.
Yeah,
he's probably easily top three or four biggest busts for fantasy if you took him like round three or round four. And I don't really know how it's going to get going. Like two hamstring pulls in the last 2-3 weeks now, and like pretty much two players have stepped up besides Mitchell, obviously. And Gobert has been just a force. Like that game against Atlanta, he had a career high in free throw attempts. Just like, okay, I'm going against Atlanta's interior offense, like defense. I'm going to smash on him. But two players besides those two studs, Joe Ingles has been terrific, man. And he's been another guy who was kind of like a bust, but then Conley goes down, he's starting. He looks just awesome, hitting so many open dudes, hitting threes again. And then Royce O'Neal is, again, like, PJ Tucker-esque, you know, just doesn't really pile up the scoring, but he just plays great defense. He runs the floor really well. He's always leaking out, like, right on time. Like, I feel like he'd be a good receiver. But, yeah, they're legit. Like, it's – and, you know, the Mavs have played, you know, pretty good ball without Luka, too. So, KP's really stepped forward, too. So, like, we said all along. And then we'll talk about the Wolves, too. But I think we'll just quickly, like – I think, what, like 3 weeks ago, you and I were like, oh, yeah, the Wolves look like they're the 7 seed. Like, okay, they've lost like pretty much every game since we talked about that. But
yeah, so that's actually – we should – real quick before we get into the – we should talk about – so the six teams that are for sure going to make the playoffs, Nuggets, Jazz, Lakers, Clippers, Rockets, Mavs. So since we've talked, basically, we were kind of thinking Portland was dead. And that Oklahoma City and the Wolves look like the teams. I actually think since we had that conversation, the Wolves have not won a game.
Yeah,
Oklahoma City now has a winning record. Oklahoma City is the 7 seed. The Blazers are the 8 seed. I still want the Kings to make it, though. I still think the Kings are fun, and they're get like they have Bagley back, De'Aaron Fox is back. I think that the Kings would be fun. I mean, of course, the Blazers are a better team, but they are. I mean, obviously, like, you know, if Dame misses a month, would they win 4 games in a month if Dame missed? Like, maybe not even.
Yeah, they're definitely, but they're playing great. Kent Bazemore has been sneaky good. He had a really good week. He's like probably one of the hottest pickups in fantasy right now. You know, Melo's hurt, but Melo's been really good. Frickin' Hassan Whiteside, man. Another just like monster fantasy steal if you took him in fantasy. He's just been making free throws too. He's had like, three games with 7 plus blocks, had a double digit block game for the franchise record. Like, guy is just total money spot. He's hit every expectation that he asked, that he had, like, that really no one, that people weren't expecting much, but he's just been so good. But really, besides those guys, they're pretty thin. Anthony Simons has really fizzled out. Actually, we thought he may be okay. But they're solid. But I don't know about the Kings, man. Like, I still don't know what Luke Walton's doing. Like, why did it take him it's 3 games to start De'Aaron Fox? I don't get, like, why you wouldn't just start him right off the bat. Maybe he wanted to play him with Bagley together off the bench. I'm just trying to figure that out. Like, it was his birthday on Friday, and his minutes were fine, and they brought him off the bench. Like, come on, dude. It's his birthday. Be nice. But they're playing Marvin Bagley together with Rashawn Holmes. Sorry. Rashawn Holmes has just been insanely good. So, I don't know how I feel about them. Bogdan can't stay healthy. He's had a knee, a hamstring, and an ankle injury in the past, like, month. So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about Luke Walton either.
I don't know how I feel about him either. I feel like, so I'm looking at this Kings roster, right? And I'm thinking, like, dude, this should be a better team. Like, this should be a better team than 12-7. They should be playing way faster than they play. Like, looking at their best players, Bagley should be playing center a ton. Harrison Barnes should be playing power forward exclusively. He should be seeing, like, no minutes at the three. And then, you know, they should be, like our boy, Rich Holmes, he should be coming off the bench as, like, the sixth man. And they,
I don't
like,
know. I think he should play. I think they should play him together, man.
Like, you think they should play Bagley and Holmes together?
Just straight, but I mean, you just basically take out every other big man. Like, so you just kind of stack.
So we're saying, you know, like, well, because I really hate Harrison Barnes as a three, don't you? Or are you bad? Do you think he's,
Well, I mean, you could just put him in, you know, put him in like for the first like 4 or 5 minutes of the game, take him out and bring him back in for Holmes or something like that. Pretty much just run like a, you know, what, 96 minutes at the 4 and the 5, let Harrison Barnes get, you know, 20-ish of those, and the rest of those guys, you know, get 29 and 30-ish. That's pretty close to 96 right there. So that's kind of how I would do it. But Rashawn Holmes is, I mean, you could say Rashawn Holmes has been their best player. Like, he's been so freaking good. But, well, for fantasy, he has for sure been their best player.
Right. I just think
Rashawn Holmes is just, he's played so great on smalls, man. There's been like 4 games where he's had like the game clinching defensive play. So I think that's pretty much what they have. They can't take him off the floor. He can't play fewer than 24 minutes per game, I feel like. He's like their identity of their defense.
So I guess they could just cut Deadman and Ariza out of the rotation, and that would be
to do.
That would be a reasonable. I agree with you though. Yeah. I'm kind of out on Walt and they're pay. Why are they playing so slow? Like, that doesn't make sense to me at all.
Because Fox is out. Like, Fox definitely is going to pick up the pace of that offense when he starts to get healthy. So that's part of it.
Yeah.
You have Corey Joseph running the offense and Bogdan a little bit. And now they're finally healthy. Obviously, Bagley got hurt after the first game, so we kind of get to see where they're at. But, I mean, I the last 2 games, they've played Bagley next to Holmes in some spots. But that one game they kind of tried out the most was against the Pacers, against Sabonis and Turner. So that kind of makes sense. But, they have a lot – for as late as we are in the season, they have a lot of – things to figure out, it looks like.
Where are you at on Buddy Hield? What do you think of him as a player right now?
He's kind of been a little bit of a letdown, right? Like, we thought he'd be able to take a leap forward, but he's been locked down a few times.
And his really 3-point percentage is one of the biggest regression in the NBA, really, year over year.
He was routinely hanging around 40. I think he was like...
He was 42% last year.
Yeah. So he was like, him and Steph Curry were like the only 2 guys to hit like a certain amount of volume of threes at a certain clip. Like, he was elite, but he was falling off there. He hasn't really gotten better on the inside the arc. And really the big thing that he talked about in the offseason was free throws. And that's down. Like, that just going from just 1.9 free throws per game for a guy who's supposed to score, he said 25, like that just can't happen. You just can't do that the way the math works, unless you're Steph Curry, you know. But even still, Steph gets the line a little bit. But overall, he's dropped. Like, his true shooting's dropped 4%. And you mentioned the pace. The pace is killing him. He needs to play faster. Like, he has a six pace decrease. That's just big time bad. So he's got some things to do. He's still like gonna be okay. And I love how durable he is too. But again, like we said, there's just so many things that have to be fixed with this team right now.
So speaking of teams that don't necessarily need to have things fixed, even though we thought they did, the Oklahoma City Thunder, seventh seed in the West right now, they actually have a winning record. They have a positive point differential. They're 12th in offensive rating. They are 14th in defensive rating. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, first time in his career, back-to-back 30-point games. And this was like a real meme for us at DailyRoto.com, because the NBA projections really like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You know, they think that he is basically a little bit better than the player that he had shown for the first 2 months of this year. So he showed up in our optimal lineups a big chunk of the time. So the last 2 days with how good he – or last two games, rather, with how good he's been, it's been very good for all of the Daily Roto subscribers. But my question to you is, do you think the Thunder will make the playoffs, and where are you at with SGA right now?
I hate that. This whole, like – 7-8 seed thing is going to drive us crazy all season.
It is. Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, like we said, I've pretty much been wrong about this every time. But they're playing the best of them, important. Like we said, they're really playing the best ball of the non-top six teams. So I guess so. They've been great at home. They're 11.
I mean, they have some good wins here. Like they beat the Clippers. They smashed Phoenix. They they have had some very good games. They had that huge comeback against Chicago, which is like one of the best games Chris Paul has played in like the last 3 years.
Yeah. The Untuck game too. That was a huge win for them. But yeah, just the second question I like a lot more. Shai's been just unreal. He's been, like you said, every bit of the player and more in the last three games. 28 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 1.7 steals. That's what I really like. 0.7 blocks, 1.3 threes, 26 true shooting, 26 usage rate. Cut out his mid ranges a little bit, and driving has been really the key. So up until this week, he was passing out of drives 34% of the time, but the last three, it's just been 22%. That's like super, super low. It's pretty much like, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie and like the guys who were just like awesome scorers on drives are like at that level. But he's not touching the ball a lot either. So it's pretty much just like, here, Shai, go and score. You know, he's not really looking to facilitate offense. And that's kind of been the thing we kind of missed, I guess. Like, we thought he'd be a little bit better in assists, but we kind of saw in the preseason where he's just like, oh my God, this guy can definitely be a top level scorer. So he's really turned into that role. And we kind of knew this. Like, he was kind of just uncoverable back in the preseason. And then they said that in training camp. But he had, you know, probably a bad, like, 15-game sample. But he looks freaking amazing right now. So it's nice to see him kind of click. And they're going to – he's going to have to. We'll see what happens with OKC. They don't necessarily need to trade people. We saw Woj and Loeb kind of say that Chris Paul's probably going to stay around for the season.
So he should, right? Yeah. He might be getting to play meaningful playoff games. Like, he should stay.
Yeah, but I guess the bigger question is going to be Gallo, because he's, you know, expiring.
They should trade him.
Yeah, if you trade him, you're pretty much – I don't think they don't have anybody that could fill his minutes. Like, I love Darius Bazley long-term, but he's not a guy you can play for 25 minutes. I mean, they can't play.
They just have to play three guard lineups.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then what are you going to do at the four? You know, there's just nobody you can really play there either. Like, unless they feel Roberson could come back in there, or Roberson can come back in there, and, you know, because he can guard fours, but he's.
So what you do is you just got to play. I mean, you just got to play like Abdel Nader, right?
Yeah. But I mean, still, he can't guard like most fours. You know, they're going to have to be. I'm not a Gallo guy at all, just because he's hurt all the time. But like, he's kind of key if they're going to make a playoff run. Like, it's kind of, you can't really have it both ways, you know?
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I think if they do keep it together and CP3 stays healthy, they definitely look like the class of this non-top 16 group. So It's pretty nice to see. And you know, Chris Paul, we bash him a lot lately, but he's been pretty good lately.
So I feel kind of good as an Oklahoma City fan. I'm like SGA, like, you know, he's never going to be Westbrook, but we got a good player. And I mean, they have, like, look how many picks they have. Like, Presti is really going to get a chance to do his thing.
Yep. They have a lot of ways to handle this. So it's going to be definitely interesting. And they have a big crossroads coming up with the deadline too. So, you know, I think they just let the record kind of dictate what they do, right? Like, if they play well, you know, maybe keep Gallo. You know, he's kind of on the downside of his career, so it's not someone you're going to want to sign to like a 5-year deal after this, especially with the way the roster's kind of built. But if they start losing games, then you kind of know he's gone. I don't even know what their schedule looks like. Let's see if that's a. I think they have some tough games coming up. Well, I mean, everyone does in the West, right? So.
Right. Yeah. But just you sit long enough and you have a tough game coming up. Yeah. Speaking of the Western Conference, the record for the Wolves, not great. Actually, pretty bad. But yeah. I think if you're a fan, you have to feel okay about the direction of the team, because they gave all this money to Andrew Wiggins, and he looked like one of the worst contracts in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But now, Jeff Teague on the bench. Karl Anthony Towns struggling with this knee tendonitis. Wiggins has the best true shooting percentage of his career, best rebound rate of his career, and his assist rate is like 25% higher than any of his other seasons. I think he's a legitimate most improved player candidate. I know that Devonta Graham is going to win, but you know, what are you seeing with Wiggins in terms of how he is playing differently?
It is tough. I'll just add, it's quick. It's kind of tough to give a second year player most improved, but for Devonta, he's like leading every like differential category, like most points from last year and like most threes per game from last year. He's just been just like lights out. He's like top 5 or 6 in touch time. But during the losing streak, his numbers are actually really good. And he's, you know, Wiggins is like a verb, like, you know, he's doing a Wiggins. He's Wigginsing, which means like all points, nothing else for fantasy. But last this losing streak, he's 25-5-3 assists, 1.2 blocks, which is that like raised my eyebrows when I read that, and even 0.9 steals, 2.1 threes. He's cut down his mid range. He's only 10% of his shots are from mid range, so he's been better there. But yeah, it's just rough. This team is so bad. And what was it, after Friday? Like, Ryan Saunders was just distraught with how bad his team is playing. It was Wednesday. Sorry, he was just like. He just, you know, basically did like a shrug emoji, like he has like no idea what he's doing, and just continuity is killing them. Or lack of continuity is killing them. So over their last 10 games, their most used lineup is just 46 minutes. That's partly because of no Cat, obviously, but even still, that's just insanely low. Like, that's serious. That's almost like 2 games worth of like a Mike Malone lineup or rotation. So that's just killing him. He's trying to find new answers. He's starting Shabazz Napier. That'll probably stick for a few games, I would think. But Covington's been nowhere near where he needs to be. Okogie hasn't taken a step forward. Culver's been a mess on efficiency. He has so many like bad rotation minutes. And I think he's going to be good, but he's like the quintessential rookie right now, him and, I guess, Cam Reddish. But nobody is stepping up besides Wiggins, so it's kind of sad to see. And just losing
Shabazz Napier had one good game. That was all he was able to muster. Okogie has been bad. Travion Graham has been, you know, fine. Pretty much everyone else has not done their job.
Yeah, Napier just had the revenge game against the Blazers. That's it. But it's a mess, man. Like they've just, from fantasy perspective, I'm like terrified to own Cat. Like, I have Cat in one league and I'm like, oh man, dude, he's going to get shut down. Cause you see these knee injuries and is indestructible. He played every game in his first 3 seasons. Like,
I mean, definitely should not be pushing it with him. Like, yeah. It's a very bad idea for them to be doing that for sure.
Like, when he sat out on Wednesday, I was like, oh boy. Cause I mean, they got to snap this losing streak, man. And I mean, for them to sit him out both games of a back-to-back set against, you know, good teams, like, it's just, this is not Cat. Like, Cat would usually just try to give it a go and everything, but you know, it's going to be rough. Like, I'm concerned about him in back-to-backs. You know, someone asked me if they would trade Cat for Luka. The Mavs have a bad fantasy schedule, by the way, but I was like, yeah, I guess you kind of have to do that. Just because with, like, it's record matters. Like for football, like fantasy football, it doesn't really matter too much. Oh, it does a little bit, but not.
It does a little bit towards the end, but it does matter in basketball for sure.
Oh, well, yeah, it matters like tenfold. I want to say.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, look at Julio. Like all your studs, like Julio Jones and Christian McCaffrey, like won me a fantasy.
Yeah, still playing in week 16.
Yeah, right. They scored like half my fantasy points. Like that's just not you're just at the mercy of especially Kat's not going to get traded. You know, so it's tough, man.
Yeah, very tough.
But I think Jrue Holiday could get traded too, just to add that in there.
So I think we wanted to talk a little bit about Dinwiddie and Devontae Graham. I mean, these guys are the two best, like, young, improved guards in the league right now. And you know what? I have to think that this, like, Charlotte didn't even know, because there is a 0% chance they sign Rozier to that contract if they think that they have this in Devontae Graham.
For sure. And, I mean, really the whole offseason they were talking about how they're going to play Dwayne Bacon point guard minutes. Like what happened to that plan? But yeah, he's just so good, man. He's just so crafty and like getting in on his own, and like he's like the quintessential like small dude player, you know. He just wiggles around dudes, shoots over dudes. Like he has against like super duper long guys like Rudy Gobert, he gets blocked a lot. But yeah, he's just super crafty, and I don't think he's going away. He's just been getting he's had a couple inefficient games, but when you shoot as many threes as he does, like you're definitely going to be susceptible to having bad shooting games. But yeah, he has like really the total package. You know, not quite as good. He's a better scorer than he is a passer, but you know, maybe that'll get better too. So yeah, and I've always said I think the Rozier thing was just like a purposeful thing. And Rozier has actually been good lately, though. You know, like, he had two monster games, had a career high against the Cavs on Wednesday, so he's played better. But yeah, Devontae is definitely fantasy pick of the year, I would say. Him and I guess Rashawn Holmes too, or 1A, 1B. But
and Holmes, you could have gotten off the waiver wire, right?
Yeah, yeah. He got. I play a lot of deep leagues, so he was drafted in those. But yeah, standard 12, he was definitely picked up. And Devontae was like the ad. I did a Thursday column for like waiver wire pickups, and he was like my headline dude. Him and Kendrick Nunn, who just those dudes just smashed really all season. We talk about Miami for every podcast, but they just look so good too.
Right. Yeah.
Freaking Bam on a bio. Oh my God. He's scoring 20 a game. So I'll ask you a question, and maybe tough to put you on the spot. I'll lead you in.
No, hit me up.
So, like, who does Bam's remind you of? I said he's like a little bit like KG without the high scoring. He just does so many things. He guards so many people. He just like it's such the identity of the team, both on both ends. Like he's just reminds me of like KG, especially statistical wise.
Yeah, he is like one of those like 2010 style centers, like you know, like he's able to be super impactful without you know, without shooting threes, right? Like he doesn't have to shoot threes in order to be, you know, a really impactful player, and that's very rare in today's NBA. Like maybe like a little like, I mean, young Al Horfordy, maybe, like when Horford was a really mobile offensive player, something like that. Or you know, the great comparison is actually probably Al Jefferson, because Al Jefferson never shot, but he wasn't a good defensive player, I guess.
Oh yeah, not at all. Yeah, and he was pretty much Bam has a little bit of, you know, 8 feet now, very little, but Al Jefferson was just like total back to the basket post up machine. But yeah, he's just loved.
But Bam. he was also like he was he's a great rim runner. Bam is like he really is one of the best at that. So like that definitely matters.
Yeah, their dribble handoff plays are so hard to guard with Bam as handing off to dudes. Like they run that so much. They run that with Derek Jones Jr. now too, and Derek Jones Jr. has been freaking awesome lately too. He's another we love the Heat so much on this pod, but
we do love the Heat. I mean, Jimmy Butler having a great year. We definitely love the Heat on this podcast. A team we don't love.
Let's hit Spencer real quick.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's go. So Spencer Dinwiddie, Bitcoin boy.
First time he's ever had three straight 30-point games, and like way over 30. He's averaging 37 points per game. It's insane. And then those last three, he's had 30 drives per game. Just as a reference point, Trae Young's leading the league at 20 per game. And he's passing out like Shea at 22%, super low numbers. So it's just like, okay, I'm scoring on you right now all day. And just massive, massive volume. He's the man, dude. And he, like, I know a lot of people just started talking about this weekend, but all-star lock or what? I mean, I don't know how you keep him off. He's been one of the
Who would even be the other candidates in the Eastern Conference, like, for that reserve guard spot? I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, Ben Brogdon. I guess would you put Brogdon over? I probably
he missed like what a 3 weeks.
No, not that much. But yeah, I mean,
Kyrie played 11 games. He won't.
Definitely not Kyrie. Yeah.
Trey, the locks are Trae Young and Kemba Walker, and then I think after
Ben
that,
Simmons.
I mean, will they count Simmons as a forward? They can if they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in there for sure. Devontae, dude.
Yeah, I mean, and Lowry's played 18 games, so he's probably right.
They'll give it to him just because that's what the voters or the coaches do, just because he's Kyle Lowry. He deserves it, but I mean, I don't know. I guess you could. Jimmy would be a. Jimmy's going to start, right? Probably. I don't do all star too much. I'll add that. I think it's stupid.
I think it's fun. It is stupid, but I do think it's fun. And the thing is, though, is that, you know, these things, they do actually matter, because this is ends up being things that people talk about when you discuss, you know, Hall of Fame, and it influences people's contracts and stuff like that. So, I do think it is kind of one of those things that does matter.
I just think it's so overblown. Like, people, like, just write, like, you know, these big articles about their all-star picks and why this guy should or why this guy shouldn't, you know?
Right.
But and then Bradley Beal, we're forgetting him too, but he's like for sure a lock. He's been I guess we'll talk about Bradley Beal in a little bit, but Spence's, I mean, the more we think about it, he has to be in there. He's just been lock city. He's been, every night he's just going off.
So the Washington Wizards, every year this happens. There's just one team that just cannot shake the injury bug for whatever reason that it is. They are just incapable. Their starters get hurt, and then the replacements get hurt, and then the G League guys that they call up to replace those guys get hurt. Like, the Wizards are that team this year, where it seems like and it's actually very weird. Their only guy who hasn't really been hurt yet is Bradley Beal, who like always gets hurt. It's like he's always getting banged
up. Last couple years he's been good. He had that 4 straight years with the
stress fracture. Yeah,
but he's been pretty durable lately.
You're right. He's been better since then. So it is pretty interesting that that he's stayed healthy. And by the way, Beal has played incredible. Do we think that he gets traded?
I don't think you can trade him. I mean, you can, obviously, but you have to get so much, man. Like, I don't even know what team would have the ammo to get that done.
Well, it would be a team. Miami it would be a team that could take Wall's contract, right?
I guess. Like, that would definitely be part of the plan, right? But I don't even know if you would do that. Like, what's the point of that? Like, why would you – like, you might as well – I'm always in the camp of, like, if you have a bad contract and you're bad – just sit it out, you know, just let that thing run out and then start over. I hate like giving up value for when you're not like, what's that? That's not really not going to do anything, especially if you're going to trade Beal away.
Like, right. Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. But I don't even know. Like, it'd have to be a huge trade for it was like a star for a star. But I think I'm in the Bradley Beal is very, very good camp, but back to the original stuff. It's like, oh my God, now Bertans is hurt. Isaiah Thomas is suspended for a couple games. They're going to the stands. Wendy's frosty time, but they're so thin. Like, that game on Friday, even with Bertans healthy, they were closing with Ish Smith, Isaiah Thomas. So both those guys super small. Brad Beal at the 3, Admiral Schofield at the 4, and then Bertans at the 5 against the Raptors. Like, it was just insanely small, and that's what they have no choice. And now with Bertans out, like, I don't know what they're gonna do. They're gonna play Pasesnik a little bit more, I guess. Because Yamahimi really can't play more than 20 minutes per game. So, I mean, they're playing Garrison Matthews minutes, playing Isaac Bonga minutes, who, quick side note, everyone called him Isaac Bonga, and he said that was fine, but he says his mom calls him Isaac Bonga, so I guess that's why everyone's calling that now.
I guess I gotta call him something different. I would have gone my whole life calling him Isaac.
For sure, yeah. And I talk about Troy Brown a lot on other pods for fantasy. But, like, again, this guy has just, like, huge opportunity in front of him again. And, like, he's going to probably squander it because he's been a huge letdown. A guy who I thought was going to be pretty good. He was a DFS favorite, really, in the last month of the season last year. But, you know, Ish Smith's been hot and cold. He had the 9-for-9 against the Raptors, then goes 0-for-7 the next day. It's just, it's amazing they're even competitive. You know, just credit to Bradley Beal. But, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more of Admiral Schofield coming up. And I don't know who they played tonight, right? Or, yeah, they played the Knicks tonight. So
that's so do you have a take on either Admiral Schofield or this this Austrian center whose name I literally can't bring myself to pronounce?
The broadcast team, they call him AP like 9 times out of 10. So you're not alone on that, but I believe it's Pasechnik's. But yeah, he's like Scott Brooks talked him up. He's like, yeah, he's a really good screener. He's good around the basket, and that's kind of it. But oh boy, he's had like some of like head slappingly bad, like oh my god, what kind of defense is that? But he's gonna have to play now. He may even like close just because they're running out of options right now. But they added Gary Payton too, so maybe he'll play some minutes. He's probably long enough to play the three, so especially with Isaiah Thomas going out, he might even start. I still think the story is Smith, but yeah, it's crazy. This is like a, if you did who he play for like the whole Wizards team,
right? Yeah, it'd be, you'd never know, right?
Yeah, but yeah, it's crazy.
Want to close out with talking about, I think this is going to be huge for DFS players and seasonal players over the next couple weeks. The Raptors are going to be without Pascal Siakam and Norman Powell after just being without Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet. So now they're going to have to start using Chris Boucher as their like primary backup big because Marc Gasol is out as well. And then Rondae Hollis-Jefferson a lot at the four. But also, Patrick McCaw is getting like a ton of minutes starting on the wing for them.
Yeah, so the first game, like I was running through it. And I'm a big Boucher tout. I love that dude because he's so good per minute. And you saw the rotation, and it was like, oh my god, why is Serge still in this late in the first quarter? And then he comes in early in the second quarter. It's like, oh my god, Nick Nurse is really gonna play Serge 36 minutes, and he did. Boucher was actually bad, which I think may have played part of that. But then again, like he came in kind of late anyway, so I think the plan was to play him maybe 34, 35. But anyways, like they finally dialed him back. That's kind of where he has to be. Like you can't play Serge more than, I'd want to say 28 minutes. Like I feel like anything over that is pushing it, given that he's 30 and, you know, he kind of is injured. Like I feel like he's, you know, an unhealthy-ish 30. Like obviously he's like super fit, but I'm just saying like injury prone wise. That you're just playing with fire. And like Nick Nurse, night after night after night, is just playing dudes. Like you're playing Kyle Lowry 40-ish minutes. I tweeted out, I always use per 36 minutes for guys on splits. I'm using per 40 minutes on Kyle Lowry because he's playing so much. But
he's playing so much.
Dude,
yeah.
He can't do that, man. For as active as Lowry is, it's just so risky. But yeah, Boucher is lock and load city. Going to be, I love to see tonight against a bigger Indiana front court. Really tough challenge for Boucher. So on a back to back, that's probably why they dialed Serge back. So, but I think they can't up him again. So Boucher is going to be mad chalk tonight. I love him. But yeah, and the other takeaway for me, besides the Serge thing, was Pat McCaw is in the rotation for sure. They're pretty much staggering Lowry. They're taking him out really early in the first, putting him back in with like 2-3 minutes left in the first, and then filling in with VanVleet and they're playing a lot of VanVleet, but they're filling in with McCaw and Terrence Davis too is playing some decent minutes for them. But and Malcolm Miller's played a little bit of three, a little bit of four. OG's playing going to probably be straight four now. So and then Rondae's playing a lot of four and some threes. So they Rondae's going to be pretty good. Rondae's been excellent, really, a guy that we all kind of left for dead. After he, you know, he was really on the come up 2 years ago, but he's played really, really well. One of their sneaky most improved players that's not getting any, you know, mainstream love, nor I guess he shouldn't, but yeah, that's kind of it. I still think Terrence Davis could play, you know, pretty good minutes. He's another guy who doesn't get enough love for being kind of a good starting rookie, but Pat McCaw is back to life. I was a big Pat McCaw stan when he was first coming up because he looked good in summer league, but they've really filled out for. As you'd think they'd be screwed without Siakam, Gasol, and even Norman Powell, who was playing his best ball of his career, really, besides that playoff run, I guess. But, just Lowry's all-day DFS every night just because he plays so many minutes. And VanVleet's been another guy who's probably doesn't get – he's not going to get one most improved, but he's really, really improved.
Yeah, he's been and you know what? I just I really like the Raptors. Like I'm just loving how how much they're competing night after night, like how they are, you know, like they're looking like one of the best teams in the East after losing their best player. Like I think the Raptors story is very cool, and they have great jerseys. Love Nick Nurse. Like, and they also have great, like all the Raptors fans on social media are great. Yeah. Like the Raptors are just fun, dude.
Yeah, man. You love to. I feel like so Kawhi got standing ovation. Like that's what happened. But I feel like if he played in, no offense to people from Boston, like if Kawhi did to Boston what he did to Toronto, like people in Boston would boo Kawhi, no brainer, right?
Oh, I think pretty much most fan bases would just be horrible upon the return. Yeah. Whereas the Raptors, certainly they were not. Like even Oklahoma City, which is like the Canada of the United States, even they booed Durant super hard. Though I think when Westbrook comes back, it will be very different.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Who are the other like lovable fans? Well, would the Bucks boo Giannis if he left? I feel like they wouldn't. Bucks fans?
Would the Bucks boo Giannis? I think no. I think if Giannis left, they would be one of the lowest attendance teams in the NBA.
Yeah, and like he's like one of the most lovable dudes in the NBA, right? Like for sure. Like him and Dame and Clay, if you're not a hater on the Warriors, I feel like they're the top three like most likable dudes.
No doubt, yeah.
Yeah, but the Raptors, though, yeah, they're going to be, like, they're basically running, like, almost an eight-man rotation with a little bit of Malcolm Miller as the ninth dude, but, yeah, it's fine. Please play Chris Boucher 20 minutes every night, at least till Gasol gets back.
What about 24? 24 would make me feel very happy.
I went on did a podcast by myself, and I was like, all right, if he gets under 18, I'm going to be furious. So that first game, I was like, dude, you played him 12 minutes. Like
it was such a bummer because a bunch of people were on him in DFS and everything, and he just it was horrible to have to sweat through that.
Dude, I got like drop Boucher now, and like, oh, you found the answer out on Sunday, didn't you? 21, 4 blocks, 2 steals.
Yeah, he had 42 DraftKings points in 20 minutes.
Nice. Yeah. He probably had almost 50 then in FanDuel with the extra points for the blocks and steals, right?
Yeah. He just absolutely smashed. So that's definitely it.
Just mad props to the coaching. I mean, all these dudes are playing better than we thought they were going to be. So, I mean, what else are you going to say besides the coaching, right?
Yeah. I mean, people might forget. Do you know whose roster Chris Boucher was on in 2017?
I do. Dubbo's. Cool.
Golden State Warriors. Yep. Yeah, and they let him go.
Yep, they could definitely use him right now.
Yes, they definitely could. So I am
pumped for the Warriors on Christmas.
Imagine scheduling them for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the Warriors. They should have flexed out of it though.
I don't even know. Is that even possible to do? Like, do they have that flexibility?
I don't know. They should be able to. I think, like, considering the Pelicans and the Warriors are both so, so bad. Like,
oh, my gosh. It's against the Pelicans?
No, they're not against each other.
That would be freaking incredible.
Yeah, it's Pelicans at Denver, and then Golden State's hosting Houston. So, how many – dude, Harden's going to – oh, my God. You have to play Harden on Christmas for DFS, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, he's going to be – huge smash.
Over under, like, 50 points, like, for reals.
I mean, yeah, that's just what that's I think he's
legit.
He does.
I think 80 could legit happen, but it's going to be blowout though. But he plays blowouts though. That's gonna be fun.
I mean, that's what that's D'Antoni's thing. He loves to play his dudes in blowouts.
Yeah, well, I think Harden wants to play. Like, it's not. It's more, and you know, Harden dictates how much minutes he gets. I feel like.
Yeah, yeah, he likes to play. That's a good point. Yeah. And it's a national TV game, so let the dude cook.
Yeah, for sure. Like him and Westbrook are both going to have monster lines.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, thank you for joining the show. Everyone, hope that you guys enjoyed it. Make sure to check out all of Mike's awesome stuff over on rotoworld.com. And we will be back next week, hopefully, with Drew Dinkmeyer. And we're going to force him to compliment Russell Westbrook.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.